Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with
trees. Oh, God, it's just been one of those days, Dan. Oh. So all it was raining here. I don't think I've seen the sun yet, but... We talk all the time about everybody wants to speed up the game, and in general, it's baseball they want to speed up, but the NBA made some rule changes today to attempt to speed up their game. They are decreasing the number of timeouts per game, Dan, from 18 to 14. They also passed a rule that limits timeouts in the final 2 minutes to two per team. They used to get three. Now they get two. And I know another one. I don't know if it's in this article. Let's see. Yeah. The halftime is now 15 minutes flat. So, you know, once 15 minutes goes, the game starts again. So those were three big changes they made. Now, you know, I know you and I have complained quite a bit about timeouts at the end of the game, because obviously that's just a ridiculous issue. You like these rule changes?
Yes and no. I mean, I think they brought it down to 14, which is just the right amount of commercial breaks. So it's all for, you know. I mean, let's be honest, I've never really bought that the timeouts really serve anything other than commercial breaks. You know, because what are they? 20 seconds, you can get in like a 20 second commercial. But I think those don't go to, I don't think those go to break. But I mean, a lot of times, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just not an X and O kind of guy. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't see the point of them other than trying to give your guys, trying to break the momentum, which isn't always a bad thing. It's a strategy thing.
Yeah, you know, what I found interesting that I actually did not know is in certain venues, be it normally it's, you know, the smaller market, as you would describe them, teams, they do halftime concerts. You know, and I know I heard somebody talking on the radio today about how Atlanta, you know, since obviously it's a bit of a hip-hop haven, you know, yeah, they have a lot of those guys who at halftime will perform. Now, you know, this, you know, obviously this helps ticket sales because you buy a ticket to a Hawks game and you get a mini concert as well. You know, I'm sure they can probably still do it in 15 minutes or, I did read where there, you can apply for a special exemption where halftime can go a little longer. So I'm sure they'll work that out where they're not costing teams money, but do you think that affects these teams?
I mean, if the team was in, say, Nashville, or, you know, if you were having, say, like, an actual band, but as far as it goes with, let's just you know, kind of stick on Atlanta. If you've got a hip-hop artist, I mean, what do you really need besides a long extension cord and a DJ, you know, a mini DJ stand that you could wheel out? And, you know, that takes 30 seconds to wheel in and 30 seconds to wheel out. But I think if that was the route, you know, something they were going to do a little bit more of, they've already restructured. And I think their stadium's going to be pretty cool where they have that on-court bar. I don't know, behind, you know, obviously, whichever basketball net. I'm getting old. I just said basketball net. I don't know. What do you call it? In one of the sides, I think that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I think they'll just have to learn to adapt and, you know, update the stadiums. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, I haven't traveled a whole lot for basketball. I've been to Miami. I couldn't tell you what the halftime show was there. I'm happy. I'm completely satisfied with, you know, the dancer performances. You can never go wrong with that. But in Milwaukee, maybe this was between periods, just like in Chicago, you know, here in Illinois, we have the Secretary of State, Jesse White, tumblers, which, I mean, after I'm getting up there, I'm almost 40 now, and so after the last 20 years of seeing that throughout different events in my life, I could care less, you know. So, I mean, I think as far as speeding the game up, I think 15 minutes is good for the fans that are actually in attendance, because that kind of gives you enough time. If you really don't break away during the first two periods, you know, if you're a grown up without children there, it gives you enough time, I think, to maybe break away, go to the bathroom, and, you know, get back with some snacks or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a huge deal with the, you know, at halftime. I like the idea that they're trying to speed up end of games because, you know, you and I both know, man, if it's a close game, it just turns into a free throw shooting contest. And, you know, who wants to watch that? You know, I could imagine even in the arena, that's probably boring, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the game does go by slightly faster in the arena, but I haven't been to a playoff game or, you know, high-consequence game where you might see more of that. I definitely agree with, you know, limiting the timeout. I mean, like I said, though, I think they just broke it down to, you know, a quick study of all the NBA games last year, and you could figure out, you know, how many timeouts were actually used compared to how many TV breaks were allotted for the time period. But I think if they really want to speed the game up and make it just a little bit more interesting, as name has taken on, I think the Hack the Shack foul should be something that should be taken out of the, maybe not so much taken out of the game, but you get one or two, and I don't know if you'd want to do it by team or by player or even by coach, but I think you give them a couple. But then you start finding them for every Hack a Shack. Because, I mean, that's what gets ridiculous. That's what I hate seeing in the game. You know, that's one of the things where once that starts, and with being a Bulls fan and, you know, Big Jack over the last couple of seasons, you really didn't see that happening to our team here. But there were some other nationally televised games where that would happen. And that's pretty much when I cut the game. When they start the Hack a Shack crap, that's when I stop, because I know that we have, you know, let's just say 2 minutes and 37 seconds left in the game, and they just started that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that this 2 minutes and 37 seconds is going to go on for about 30-plus minutes.
Yeah, that's always the tough part. You know, you watch the game, you're like, oh, there's a minute left. Okay, I can watch the last minute of this game. And then 15 minutes later, you're still not done. You're like, wait a minute, there was just a minute left. What happened? So, yeah, they definitely need something.
Yeah, well, and like you said, I mean, sometimes those games, you're looking at your bedtime, and you're going, oh, you know, I can watch the rest of this and go to bed. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, now I'm, you know, 30 minutes past my bedtime, and I'm not 25 anymore, so I need that sleep.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to get to see the end of this game because I have to go to bed, even though there were only, you know, 5 minutes left when I sat down to watch it. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, how did this happen? So, I hopefully it works out. I'm sure if they're working on this, they got complaints from television, because I know, I'm sure the Mickey Mouse Network and TNT want the games to run a little closer to their schedule of time. Especially this year with everybody wanting to show West Coast games, they're going to need those East Coast games to wrap up on time to get them off the TV. Because let's face it, if you're not a fan of an Eastern Conference team, there's really no reason to watch one, except for Cleveland, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say. They both seem to run, back-to-back games. So when you do a 6 o'clock and an 8 o'clock, the Golden State game is starting on the other network or ESPN3 and, on TBS.
Yeah.
Cut right back into it once we're done watching the Knicks, get destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's obviously, the last thing, hey, we've got the Cavaliers and the Bulls tonight. Going to be a great matchup. Oh, well, the Cavs are up by 35, and we got 5 minutes to go, and it's still taking forever. Yeah, let's start that Western Conference game now. Who cares? So,
in a game like that, they already have LeBron just sitting there, kind of put his feet up, getting a manicure. Cause
he's been out of the game entire fourth quarter, so, it's not like, he's like, yeah, all right, geez. But all right. Well, in some other interesting NBA news there, Dan, apparently, Carmelo has agreed to waive that no trade clause, and the Knicks and the Rockets are working out a deal that will include not only themselves, but two other teams. Now it's being reported that the word they used was confident that they have a willing third team trade partner. But they need the fourth team to move particular player contracts that neither the Knicks nor the Rockets could or would accept in a deal. So I don't know, then obviously, players aren't named or anything at this point in time. So we'll have to see if or how long it takes them to work this out. But, Anthony's 33. He's got a couple left on his deal. Add him to Chris Paul and James Harden, and are they a big enough three to contend with, the Warriors?
I think so. I really think so. You got to wonder if the Bulls look into this mix with the way they're kind of – you don't know or you know. I don't know what's going on with them. Yeah. They wonder if they can get in the mix somehow and pick up contract and drop it. It'll be a dummy team, so to speak. I'm assuming that's what they need.
Yeah, they probably need a team that can eat a bad contract under the salary cap. Maybe there's only a year remaining on it. I don't know, again, who the players will be. I'm sure there'll be a lot of draft picks thrown in to get this third and or fourth team into the mix. So that may attract some interest, but... Yeah, if you're a rebuilding team, I'm sure you would want in for the draft picks. And, if it's a short-term deal, you can even live with taking a guy on. It's just a matter of, who they are.
With the salary cap, the low end of it, the reason I threw the Bulls out there is because I know, seemingly, like you said, rebuilding. And I think they can only go out 1 year. I would assume that, in that deal, like you said, would be like a 2019 draft pick. And if you have to pick up some money just to make that that low end of the salary cap, that's why I figured them to be in the mix with that.
Yeah, here is, as I go through the article here, one of the things they note here is that the Knicks aren't interested in the Rockets' older players and big contracts. So they have to bring a new team into the deal that will satisfy the Knicks. Because obviously if the Knicks are going to move Carmelo Anthony, they're basically in complete rebuild mode. you know, even with Kristaps Porzingis, if Anthony goes, you know, they're definitely an incomplete teardown. Let's, you know, let's do what we can to rebuild this and get going. So I can understand why they, you know, the only way you take an older player is if he has 1 year left on his deal, you know, because then you can just let him walk out the door afterwards. But yeah, it'll be a fun deal to keep an eye on and see how they, if or how they can work this out, because, you know, they're always, you know, always interesting to kind of look at it and go, hey, wait a minute, they did what? So. So yeah, you'll be interested in the Rockets then if Carmelo goes there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So you'll have to catch up on all the Houston games.
Well, I think they get a little bit more TV time.
You know, now do you find it interesting? Now, you know, Houston is coached by Mike D'Antoni, who is actually the former Knicks coach, and one of the the biggest reason he got canned as the Knicks coach is because Carmelo didn't like him. And he didn't like the offensive style that D'Antoni was putting in New York. Do you find it interesting now that there's a really good chance that they're going to be back together?
You know, maybe it was one of those things he didn't know what he had until he was gone.
After dealing with Phil Jackson, you know, it's not so bad to go back to D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm. At least they were a contending team, and you know, he had a pretty good year of time with them. You know, I think the numbers were pretty solid. I mean, that was the year I won the first ever baseball league for our fantasy.
that was the first year we ever did it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've stunk ever since. I had to tear it down.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're just like the Knicks now. You're in rebuild mode. So, you'll have to see if you're, you know, I guess your five-year plan is coming up here, though.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, in some other news, I know we talked about it yesterday. The Lakers were looking to bring in some more guards. They did sign that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to a one-year deal. I'm trying to remember if it was $14 or $18 million for just the 1 year, and then he'll head back out on the free agent market. And I guess there is talk that they're still considering adding Rajon Rondo, so that will be quite interesting. But in other former Bulls news, Dan, Thabo Sefolosha, I don't know if you remember him. He got a 2-year deal to join the Utah Jazz. So Thabo's still hanging around the league. One of the few guys who actually still plays defense.
Well, you know, I think they're grasping for whatever they can get to try to make a nice run into the playoffs. They have a pretty solid team. I mean, no Karl Malone. And who was the other guy?
John Stockton?
No,
John Stockton, yeah. Obviously the big problem is, you know, they just have no way to replace Gordon Hayward. And as good as the West is, I don't think they're going to be able to hang on to that playoff spot. So, but, you know, at least they're, you know, they look like they're trying, you know, they're bringing some guys in to try to fill the void. And, you know, Thabo still, you know, never turned into much of a scorer. You know, he was with the Bulls for a little while, and I think where'd they send him? Was it New York? I don't know. He bounced around a little bit. You know, I know he ended up with the Hawks for a while, and I think he finished last year with Oklahoma City. I think that's where I got it from. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he was a, you know, really, really good player in Europe until the Bulls brought him in, and then they ruined him. Oh, so.
I will say, though, I have a nephew that just outside Atlanta, my wife's nephew, actually. So hopefully, maybe not this year, but the next couple of years, I will get down there to check out either a Hawks or a Braves game. Yeah, I know they all have new stadiums.
I had to look here to see where I was. I was actually right. Tabo did go from the Bulls to the Thunder. I was right the first time, and then he spent the last 3 years with the Hawks. So, you know, now we can add the Jazz to it. But, yeah, I didn't realize he's been in the NBA 11 years.
Good for him.
So, but, yeah, you know, with, you know, a couple other guys coming off the you know, coming off the free agent list, Dan, we're still waiting to hear the name of Derrick Rose called. You know, he hasn't landed a deal yet. You know, Tibbs hasn't figured out a way to sign him. You know, I know the Knicks actually considered bringing him back. Where's your good friend Derrick Rose end up?
I have no clue, but it's going to be a team that on the outside, not on the outside, I wouldn't say on the outside looking in, but one of those teams, I think you got to wonder if he would go out west to kind of see how that goes. But I think you'd look at him joining one of the bottom four. You know, that means.
Yeah, I
have money to spend.
Yeah, I guess part of the rumor or the issue with Rose is most teams want him to come in as a backup. You know, they want him to be the second point guard on the team, and they're not sure if that is a role he would be willing to accept. So I think at this time, if, you know, he's still interested in playing, you know, he would pretty much accept any role, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Mike, and I know this wouldn't actually work out, but, you know, a team that could probably use him, especially in that backup role, you know, and you can always mix it up. I mean, that's the one thing that I just don't understand about the NBA. You've got these guys, oh, these are our starters, but we know damn well they're not all going to start, you know, unless you're LeBron James or, you know, the Warriors, or even, you know, let's go to Houston. But there's going to be days when, you know, guys come off the bench, and I really don't think it matters, because at the end of the day, sometimes the guys coming off the bench are playing as much as the guys that have started, you know, especially with the way they balance out minutes and watch minutes these days. But, again, kind of going back to Rose, I think maybe a solid landing spot for him, and maybe to give a team another chance. But, again, it won't happen, I think, would be kind of cool to see him play in Boston. But, you know, what about, you know, even Washington?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there are, you know, literally you could go down almost every team. And, you know, if he was willing to take that backup role, you know, he would fit. I mean, I think even a team like Golden State, if he was willing to go in as Steph Curry's backup, you know, he could be a great fit there if he's healthy. You know, he's still a fast player. He can get up and down the floor. You know, I think the thing that holds him up and teams are going to want to know is, you know, how healthy is he?
Well, that's the thing, though. If he takes the back seat, I think he could have a prolonged career instead of trying to be the star of the team. And I think that was probably one of the better things for him going to New York was, I think you brought it up last year, or, you know, when he went there, was that he is no longer the star. You know, it's Melo
right.
Taking all the heat, and, you know, all the, you know, they're going to him first. So I really think if you use him, you know, a little bit more off the bench and get him, you know, 25 to 35 minutes, if it's possible. But I don't even think you need that, and you can have him in a lot longer, and he wouldn't tire out, and he wouldn't get as hurt as that. Very quickly. And if he is feeling a little general bot, GBS, it really won't matter because he's your backup guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if he goes somewhere and he has a really solid season, you know, that could lead to another team wanting to bring him in as a starter. Mm-hmm. You know, so he could kind of rebuild that career. You know, just kind of working, you know, working that way. So,
has he hit 30 yet? He's not even close to that, is he?
Boy, you know, let me grab the binger here and see what his age is. We can do that really quickly. He is 28. He will be 29 in October. So.
It's not bad. I mean, you can get a couple of 1-year deals and play out well, and then get another
Right.
2 or 3 by the time he's, 31.
Then they'll be ready for the boardroom. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, then he can come back to Chicago and retire. And everyone will love him again.
Yes.
When the herd's back in the
Now, you know,
trailer,
Dan, I,
he'll be the
you know, I know with all the infinite scouting and stuff you do for Fantasy League, you'll probably remember this one. So, back in 2015, with a second round pick that the Cavaliers acquired from the Minnesota Timberwolves, it actually ended up being the 31st pick in the draft. They selected a guy from the Turkish league by the name of Seti Osman. Now, Seti was just 20 when they drafted him. He's now 22, and he signed a 3-year deal with Cleveland today for just $8.3 million. Now, he's a 6'8" forward, but he also plays shooting guard. Who, believe it or not, Dan, is known for his defense.
Wow. So they're not looking for
So,
a 3 guy.
oh, I guess maybe they're looking for somebody to come off the bench and play a little D. But yeah, looking at his numbers from the Euro League, he spent 4 seasons over there. Never scored more than 8 points a game. The best he ever did was 7.9 points per game. So that's, well, you know, that's a big switch for the NBA. So hopefully he's a defensive guy because he's not a huge scorer.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for you to pull out his blocks and his steals and his rebounds.
I can give them to you here. He averages 3 rebounds a game. He averages 0.9 assists per game, 0.7 steals, and 0.2 blocks per game. So he better be a defensive whiz because he's not lighting up the scoreboard.
No, and when you said 6'8", I thought he'd have a few more rebounds than 3.7 on average. So now I feel
So.
I'm not drafting that guy. I'm definitely nominating him early though. Maybe in the my third nomination if he's not already been nominated.
I'm going to put him up there right away so you can spend your money on him and get him out of the way. But, he is only 22 years old. I'm sure he'll score a little better in the NBA. Just because that's all you do in the NBA is score. So it'll be, kind of interesting to see, how they kind of remold their team, and they have to find a way to get younger. So.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I guess for the money, it's not so bad in today's terms. I just thought that he was at least gonna have higher blocks, and maybe not even so much blocks, but the rebounds. But it is what it is. See what happens when it comes to the NBA.
Yeah, and actually the total value of his contract was 3 years for $9 million, but $675,000 of it has to go towards the buyout with his EuroLeague team, which is Anadolu Efes. So. So yeah,
So they're waiting to
this
get that
one,
money.
the cap. Yeah, the Cavs did add some guys. They're bringing Kyle Korver back. They brought in Jeff Green, who's a pretty talented. He's probably more of a power forward at this point of his game, but he can play some small forward. And then they did sign Jose Calderon to back up Kyrie Irving. So
That's
they
interesting.
you add Osman to this, and they had a for what they had and the cap space they had and all the money LeBron spent of theirs last year, they did okay.
Yeah, I mean, Calderon's not a, is a pretty solid backup. I just, and I'm not going to, I'm not laughing at any of the signings, but I was laughing a few months back when, I don't remember who was talking about it, but wondering how the Cavs would make decisions without having a GM. And yeah. I just laughed. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, every, you know, technically they don't have a GM by, you know, name. It's just yeah. how it, you know, how it kind of, how it kind of works out. So,
so
you know, we'll see how
it works. Any more basketball news? Because I'd like to move on to the All-Star.
Oh no, we can go ahead and then hop over there and, you know. So what did you learn yesterday?
From what I did watch, I ended up doing two things at once, watching that and then watching some other stuff. I did get to see the Yadier Molina home run, and I seen guys on the opposite side of the American League giving him high fives. I thought having them, a couple of players mic'd up during the game was pretty cool, because you're definitely never going to get that in the regular season. As much as I think it would work, it would never work. You know, maybe it'd be cool. I don't know. It just wouldn't work unless you're on, you know, the mothership doing one of their night games and you get them during – you know, between innings, but then again, you wouldn't get them between innings because it's commercial time between innings. So that one I could take away from it. But the two things I really wanted to address, and we'll get into the second one. We'll get into the first one after I get your response on the second one. But I think I really like Bryce Harper's idea, and that's why I threw out there Yadier getting, you know, high fives from the American League on his home run. But, you know, you brought up the fact that an old guy got dogged really bad on Chicago radio by the "we want callers, but we dog you whenever you do call in and we don't like what you say" about it. It's hard to keep up, you know, because players move around. And I get that in a sense. But the way they showcase the All-Star game, they introduced all these – well, last year, let's be honest, or last night, let's be honest, it was all about the Astros. They're really trying to promote the Astros for this All-Star game. I don't know if it's like a Fox thing. They were all about the Astros last night. And I'll be honest, Joe Buck does a horrible job at trying to sell it. He's not your guy. You need to get some kind of real marketing, you know, a better marketing person. But he just sucks at trying to sell it. If you heard the way he was talking to Springer out in the outfield, it was like, I felt like he was talking to like a 5-year-old asking stupid questions, but that's besides the point. You know, he said that the old man got dogged because it's hard to keep up with all the players moving around, and I don't want to get into why he got dogged and whatnot, but the way they talked about each player, I mean, it's not like the old days before graphics and all this and that. I don't understand really the issue with that, because, you know, you got the guy's name up, they're in the uniform that they play on. I don't really get where that comes from, why it's hard to keep up with, because it is the All-Star game. And if it is hard to keep up with, and you're not keeping up with some of the other teams on the national level, well, you know, then you sit back and go, oh, well, he's on, you know, such and such team. But I didn't feel like we had too many guys that had really bounced around from team to team on last night's All-Star game.
Yeah, I guess I would have to probably sit down and, you know, look at the roster. But yeah, I mean, you know, for obviously, you know, it's not difficult for, you know, you or I to keep up with it. I can understand how if you're just kind of a casual fan, you get, oh wait, he plays here now? So you know, I can see that kind of stuff dropping in, and you know, the, you know, like when, you know, you and I both know that, the show I was listening to yesterday on the radio, that's pretty much what those guys' MO is. Regardless of what you call in for or on, they're going to dog you and call your names and try to make you look stupid. Yeah. It's just what they do. You know, they've been doing it there for 20 plus years, the one guy has, and he just changed partners and they just continued on with the same format. So it's to be expected there. I don't know if they do this in every town on radio stations, but that's what happens here in Chicago with this local afternoon duo. It's just how they are. But yeah, it seemed, you know, yeah, kind of looking, I mean, a lot of the guys were homegrown or, you know, they had been there, you know, most of their careers. I mean, some, you know, in some occasions guys start out in other minor league systems and then, you know, they get moved to a team where they end up making their major league debut. So, you know, while it is a different team, it's technically the same, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at the starting lineup for the NL, Blackman, Stanton, Harper, Posey, Daniel Murphy, Arenado, Zimmerman, Ozuna, and Cozart. The only guy really that stands out is Daniel Murphy because he played for the Mets. He went to the Nationals. So if you didn't already know that, you could sit back and watch and say, oh, well, he's on there. And I don't think it's that hard to follow if you don't know, because I mean, then it's really not your team, so you're not following them to begin with. But, I mean, even the backups,
yes.
Joey Votto, you know, Bellinger, Molina, Josh Harrison, Justin Turner, Jake Lamb, Goldschmidt, Conforto, and Seager, the only guy who switched teams is NCR today, which you would really only know him if you really paid attention to the game like we do. If he started in Arizona,
well, no,
he wasn't really
Justin Turner used to be a Met, so.
No. Well, again, even that.
Those
two names really aren't going to stand out.
Yeah, the National League. The National League team wasn't too bad. I think the American League team had a little more guys who have ventured around a little bit as you kind of look at them. So,
I mean, the only one that really stands out to me on the American League is Justin Upton, and maybe Yonder Alonso, who played some first base, but the starting lineup went Altuve, Ramirez at third, Aaron Judge, Springer, Correa, Smoke, who moved around a little bit, Dickerson at DH, Salvador Perez at catcher, and then Mookie Betts. So, I mean, you're really not having like an all-star game full of guys who have bounced around between, you know, two or more teams over the last even 3 years, let alone 5 years.
Well, you know, I think six guys who played for the American League that have moved around. You had that a few more than the National League. You know, pitching-wise, you know, oddly, both guys who started the game moved around. You know, and then for the National League, it looks like after Scherzer, there's Neshek, Alex Wood, Greinke, Greg Holland, and then Wade Davis. So five of their pitchers moved around. And then after Sale, it's Jason Vargas, Erwin Santana, Craig Kimbrell, and Andrew Miller. So four of the American League pitchers had bounced around a little bit. So a little more pitcher movement, not too much National League player movement, but, you know, not terrible. I mean, I can understand, again, where if you're just kind of a casual fan, you may not realize some of these, you know, you may not even realize some of these guys moved here. Like, I'm willing to bet there's people who didn't realize that, you know, Alex Wood even started with the Braves, you know, because he didn't really do a whole lot there. So, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. But, you know, I mean, I can kind of see the point on kind of both sides. I understood what the guy was talking about yesterday, and I get that there wasn't, you know, there's not a ton of movement in these guys, you know, that played yesterday. I mean, it's very few, so.
But, I mean, even
maybe that's what makes them good.
It's the All-Star game, and like I said, if you didn't know that some of these guys moved around, now you know. But I don't understand how that makes it harder to follow. I mean, if you just told me you said
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it, You know, maybe he was looking for him all year and just couldn't find the guys, you know, and then he realized they were here or something. So, you know, it may not be so much following them at the All-Star game as following them to the All-Star game.
Yeah. MLB the app, MLB.com.
Well, you know, you also have to realize you're dealing with older people. You know, you're dealing with older people who aren't, you know, they're not all, you know, technology. You know, they're not all Schomburg Stew who, you know, picked it up real easily and, you know, had no problems doing all this stuff. You know, some people, you know, they struggle with, you know, technology like I do from time to time. So, you know, it happens.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen a Sunday paper in about 10 years, let alone the sports section.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? You don't know. Yeah. You say, you better be careful there because you don't know what the hell's being written there. So. You could end up with anything coming out of that. So. You know, what was your second point?
Yeah. The Bryce Harper.
You had a.
Comment about just having.
What comment did he make?
Well, making the game a little bit more interesting, and since there is no, you know, look, there's no make it count, but to have the top two guys, the team. I mean, did you think about that a little bit more? Or?
Not at all.
I did.
I
but
forgot
that's
all.
Why I brought it up.
I forgot all about it after we talked about it yesterday. So.
Oh, how could you forget about it?
All right. So you came up with a way to do it.
You know, not set in stone, but I mean, just kind of listening to what you had to say, and I really think we have to break it down, and you know, obviously you get. Yesterday it was Judge and Harper, which, you know, you almost get the American League, National League anyways, because you, those are the top two voters to begin with. But, you know, if you did a thing where you let them pick maybe, what would you say, like five of the starters and a couple of the bench guys? I don't know. That's where I was really kind of caught up with it and struggling because I figured if they pick the team, they can pick maybe the starters on each team and just kind of do like the NFL did with Deion Sanders and whoever else he was up against, just kind of go back and forth. But then the other guys, instead of having the coach pitch, maybe you do another contest where the fans kind of vote in on that, who gets to go on what team. So I thought I had a better handle on it, but there's a lot more that I think you have to put into the rules to make that happen. But I think it would be a really cool concept, you know, and kind of get the coach out of it and make it more fan interactive, I guess, is what I was trying to get at. And not only that, I think, you know, you keep bringing up the question that everyone else keeps bringing up. What can baseball do to draw a, you know, better crowd or a younger audience? Well, one of the first steps they took, and you wouldn't know about this unless you actually searched it or you went on the Major League Baseball Players Association website, which I'm that big of a baseball nerd that I regularly frequent the MLBPA's website. And they have their own social network app called Infield Chatter where you can – you know, they do contests and they do live, you know, question answers with players. And we both, you know, we've talked to our good buddy down in South Bend and they do, he comes up to Chicago for social media night. He actually gets involved with that because I think that was something they were already doing down in the minor league system. And it always amazes me how, when you get to the top, how so ancient they could be with some of this stuff. Like, that, you know, regardless, I think that is what would draw a younger crowd. And it's not so much speeding up the game because you and I, you know, I think if we sat down and just kind of disproved that everyone
it's a bunch of crap because you can't speed up the game anymore because of TV. It's just not going to happen. You can add your timers. You can do all this and that. It's not going to happen. I think they have to find a way to make it more, make the players more interactive with the fans. That actually goes to the rule book, where inside the rule book, it states that once, I forget, they have an hour before, once there's a 7:05 start at 6:05, those players are not allowed to interact with the fans. That is a Major League Baseball rule. Now, maybe I'm off on the timing exactly, but you look up in the Major League Baseball rules, and it's supposed to, they're not supposed to associate, acknowledge the fans at all. They can actually get fined if they're on the field after, inside that time period. You know, like in Chicago and Wrigley, you would think with all those pitchers sitting on the sides of the sidelines and the bullpen, like they do in San Francisco, that they can interact with the fans, maybe sign a ball here and there. They're not allowed to do that. They get in trouble. They can get fined or whatever from Major League Baseball. And I think that is then where it lies, where they need to adjust their game. Not the game, but their ancient rules. I mean, this is an interactive age where, you know, I'm not saying that the player should have cell phones in the dugout so that they can be hitting on their Twitter account. But I think that they can do things that are more interactive. And, you know, Major League Baseball has allowed, you know, a little camera in the dugout. But I think they need to pick and choose and pick better spots to where maybe they give a player on the team a certain time in the game where they're on Twitter, on maybe not their personal, but maybe the team's Twitter account, just kind of doing something. And I think that's where it would become, they would be able to draw a bigger crowd. And it's not so much in speeding up the game. That doesn't do anything. It just makes the media, who have to actually cover the game for a living, which to you and I would be a dream. And God forbid you have to work a full 8-hour shift, you know, for these guys. And that's the only reason that they want the game sped up, is so that they can go home earlier. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that the game, you know, with the way today is, you know, baseball, don't get me wrong, it's taking the steps. You know, Friday night games on Facebook and I think Twitter. But, I mean, do you kind of see it that way? They need to loosen up and get a little bit more fan-friendly, interactive?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping one of the things they learned yesterday that I'm sure a lot of people didn't know, I mean, if you didn't like Bryce Harper or you just, you know, you had a certain opinion of him, him being mic'd up and talking to Joe Buck really should have changed your mind about him. Now, I understand that's going to be much more difficult to do during a regular season game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want the distractions. I mean, I understand it. But, you know, they need to find a way to incorporate maybe a starting pitcher who's, you know, not due to pitch for – 4 days, because, you know, obviously those guys are used, you know, every fifth day. You know, maybe there's a way to get him interactive in the dugout, and, you know, you could talk to him during the game occasionally, or, you know, if there's a way to do, you know, something like that. But, yeah, talking to him during the game really, really made it enjoyable. Now, on the reverse hand, talking to Charlie Blackman while he's walking to the plate to face Chris Sale, I thought was incredibly stupid, because that's the last thing I'm sure Blackman wanted to do while he's going up there. You know, he bats left-handed, he's going to the plate to face a lefty who throws 100, and he's got to talk to these idiots. You know, talk to the on-deck hitter. You know, that would have made a lot more sense. But, you know, not everything works. I mean, you know, you throw stuff against the wall and you see what sticks.
And don't forget, Jose Altuve, how do you feel going up against Max Scherzer, who you're hitting 189 against in 7 at-bats?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got a – all right, see ya, because, you know, we got a time limit.
Well, that, and I would have loved to got the feeling Zach Cozart had when A-Rod came over to talk to him and had to look at his note card to remember his name. So yeah, I'm sure Zach Kozar just felt great when A-Rod had to look down to go, oh yeah, hey, I'm talking to Zach Kozar. Yeah, okay, like you remembered my name, jackass. So but yeah, you know, I mean, there's definitely ways they can make this more fan friendly. So, you know, it's just a matter of you know, looking at the game, and I understand some of it would go against the, you know, the unwritten rules or the way, you know, the old timers, you know, the old timers wouldn't like it, but you know, it's time to move ahead.
Yeah, well, and that's the other side of it, though, Big Jack. Is some of it's not even the unwritten rules; they're the legit rules. You would think that these guys are kind of being jerks, you know, but they're not. I mean, no offense. I've been to enough games. Actually, the MLB app at the ballpark app states that I've been to 35 Cubs games since 1992. Which, you know, when you think about it, really isn't that many.
Over I thought you'd have been, been to 35 in the last couple of years.
Well, you know, that's not including the game. That's the only game that I have tickets for.
You? What kind of fan are you? Jeez.
Well, those are the only ones I still have the tickets for. You know, I don't have all of them anymore.
Yeah.
But,
excuses.
you know, like I said, I've been to enough games to where I see what they do an hour before the game starts. Nothing. They're sitting there BSing with each other. I mean, you're telling me that they can't, you know, sign a couple more baseballs and throw them at the kids. I was at, you know, and granted, I was older. You know, this was almost 10 years ago. I was still in my 20s, though, and I was in Pittsburgh. I was 5 feet from Andrew McCutchen. The game wasn't going on for another hour, and they pulled him. He was signing autographs, and they just pulled him. And I was only about, you know, six person staying there because we were actually at our – those were our seats. And they pulled him and made him go do whatever he had to go do. And I was kind of like, well, that's pretty lame. Would like to have gotten a picture.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, obviously, you know, there are things that can be looked at. I mean – let's face it. There's definitely, you know, ways to make the game better. And, you know, it's something, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, maybe if they actually took a real fan survey and kind of listened to it and found ways to adapt it, they might come up with something. But, you know, again, it's difficult. You know, I mean, the owners are, you know, who are the owners? They're old white guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know, is there a black owner in Major League Baseball? I don't think there is.
No, and there's no Hispanic.
So, you know, I mean, you start to look around and, you know, maybe if Jeter and Jordan end up with the Marlins, you know, maybe they'll be able to enact a little change. But, yeah, you know, you just wonder. I think there is a Latino owner. I think Angel Moreno owns the Angels.
Oh, that's right.
But
that's right.
Yeah, other than, you know, but even so, I believe he's older as well. So you got a bunch of old white guys and one old, you know, Hispanic guy. And, you know, I mean, you know how it is. You know, I mean, I'm an old white guy. I'm kind of set in my ways. Imagine guys older, how set in the ways the guys older than me are. So.
Yeah. But I mean, don't you think it's, you know, and that's the thing, you know, a lot of these guys, I'm sure, aren't even looked at the rule book, the owners included. Who the hell's even looking at the rule book going, you know, hey, you know, we can only let the guys in, you know, we let the guys out or at this time period or whatever. I think that's one of those things that would be easy to change.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, and the weird part is I'm wondering, like you said, how many owners actually realize that, you know, and I mean, that's one of those things, you know, somebody needs to, you know, start some kind of email campaign to email the league about it. Just be like, hey, how hard is this to change? You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, guys don't have to stay out there till game time. You know, they have routines and, you know, you wouldn't want to bother that day's starting pitcher. I mean, he has a system. But, you know, just the fact that there's rules in place for this is kind of strange just on a whole. you know, it's like you need a rule that players have to be off the field an hour before game time. Why does, you know, what was the idea of putting this rule in? Were you worried that they would spend too much time with the fans? You know, I mean, that just seems kind of stupid.
Yeah, and in the days of old, but the days of today with interactivity and, oh, we got to find a younger audience. I think it's stupid. You know, you're kind of fighting yourself.
Well, you know what I mean? What's the best way to get a younger audience? You get a kid to take a selfie with, you know, whichever player is standing there, and he puts it on his Twitter account, his Facebook account, his Instagram account, and, you know, any other account that he has out there. And, you know, all of a sudden they think, oh, hey, cool, look, you know, Jimmy got a selfie with so-and-so at the game. Dad, can we go to the game? Mm-hmm. You know, and now all of a sudden you got the idea of, you know, the thing is, I want to see if I can get a selfie with Aaron Judge or, you know, George Springer or Bryce Harper or, you know, whoever, you know, the hot guy is on your local team, you know, or even if not, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, hell, I would be happy just to get a selfie with a guy like Victor Caratini. I mean, I would just be like, cool, hey, I got my picture taken with a major league player. So, well, you know, that would be, you know, no big deal.
I'm sure autographs are still cool, but, you know, like you said, I think today the value is the personal value. Because let's be honest, a lot of autographs just get sold on the market for ridiculous prices. And
yeah.
I'm not one of those guys. But I think, you know, in an interactive age, and I'm not saying it would, you know, it would slow down the game if every time, you know, Anthony Rizzo went to go catch a foul ball, he, you know, he stopped and took a selfie with whoever was sitting right there. You know, you obviously can't do that, you know, TO kind of stuff. But, you know, that's the sad part is when I go to these games, I notice a lot of the guys really aren't out there anymore. You know, they're already in the dugouts and people show up early. You know, some people show up to 2 hours early to get in and try to get, you know, an autograph or, like you said, a selfie or even a wave, you know, from these guys. And they're, you know, completely shut out. So I think that's the biggest change that they need to make. And they need to find the steps to make the game more fan interactive.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, and you know, there's ways to do it. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, finding the right mix. And again, you know, a lot of the stuff, it may not work. You know, let's try it. Okay, if it doesn't work, well, you know, then we'll go a different route. We'll get rid of it. We'll try something else. So, you know, but yeah, I definitely think there are ways to do it. So, you know, we'll just have to, you know, you'll have to start emailing your ideas to Rob Manfred and see what they've got, you know, if they'll listen to you.
Yeah, he doesn't have an email address you can.
Well, I'm sure, you know, MLB's got to have an email address, right? You can send it to somebody there. Oh, all right. The music means Dan and I are going to take off here for Wednesday, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there, read the new blog. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Set a like, please. Follow that feed with Pat Time Radio. Hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We always love talking to people on the Twitter there. So, as always, you know, hey, thanks for listening live. Dan and I greatly appreciate you doing that, but don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.